Shall we pray? Father, we just thank you that you are here with us now as we come before you and acknowledge all that you've done for us, and help us to be much obliged as we think that we here can hand on that thanks in the way that we live our lives and the things we do, because we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Do please sit down. As I said at the beginning, it's harvest time. And also, I don't think harvest has that significance that it used to have. Maybe those of us that like to dig in the soil, Gillian. But most of us, for harvest time, it's really just another time of the year. And I think if you spoke to many children, they wouldn't know where things came from. They'd probably say the supermarket rather than the ground. But this is a time in the year when we can stop and we can consider our blessings. And it's an opportunity to thank God for all that he's given us. As I thought about it, there's an expression that, I don't know whether people use it quite so much now, but it used to be an expression that we used was much obliged. Rather than saying thank you, if somebody did something for us, we'd say much obliged. It says a bit more than thank you, doesn't it? It's a phrase that perhaps expresses something of the harvest thanksgiving. Because if we're thankful, we're much obliged. And if we're much obliged, we want to do something. We want to show something to God to say thank you. We're indebted and we want to return that favour. And so as we consider our blessings and think about the many things that have come our way, we should conclude that we're much obliged. Much has been given to us, therefore we have a tremendous obligation. We didn't read all the chapter of Luke, but let's just sum it up before we look at what Jesus has to say. In the first few verses of that chapter, Jesus says that God knows us and cares about us. He knows us so well that he even knows the number of hairs on our head. There's too many H's in that sentence. He even knows the number of hairs on our head. As we get to the 15th verse of that chapter, he begins to talk about greed. He says, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. It isn't just about what we've got, in other words. It's a lot more than that. We may have lots of things, but life is not measured by what we possess. And then Jesus tells this quite familiar story. It's the story of a rich farmer who's been blessed with a bountiful harvest. We get the impression that it wasn't just this year, but for many years, and this was the best harvest of the lot. I'm sure he's thankful for it. He's worked hard for it. He's worked hard for such a plentiful harvest. He hasn't sat back and thought, oh, it'll just grow. He's worked hard and planted. But in a way, even though he'd worked so hard, he was being greedy about it. So what does he decide to do? I'll build bigger barns and store away the grain. That's what he says in verse 19. You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. I think that's what they think retirement is, but it doesn't work out like that. But God calls him a fool because he's made provision for everything except eternity. Then Jesus ends that story in verse 21 by saying, this is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God. In the next few verses, Jesus tells us not to let worry or anxiety ruin our lives. He talks about the birds of the air and the lilies of the field and how God cares for them and that we are worth much more to God. We are a very blessed people. We live in one of the most affluent countries in the world. God has blessed us and he says, I just don't want you to forget that I am the one. I am the one that gives you the abilities that you have. I'm the one who gives you those creative abilities and the desire to work and the desire to produce and the desire to invent and change and develop and manage. God has given us these gifts. And he says, that's what I put you here for. And I get pleasure out of watching you do a good job of it. But one thing we should remember, that God is the owner and we are responsible to him. Never forget the Lord your God, for it is he who gives the ability to produce wealth. I'm sure many of you know the old song, Count Your Blessings One by One. How often we should be doing that, shouldn't we? We are blessed with a land of plenty where we live. I know there are many struggling in this country, but our minds are brought into perspective when we see this leaflet that we've received today asking us to give. You should all have had one of these leaflets. And it tells us something about the floods in South Asia, the crisis in the Yemen that went right out of the news and recently was back on the news again. It continues, but how quickly we forget about the things that are going on in the world. We're just getting to two of the things that are happening. There's so much more going on out there. We tend to close our minds. It's just too much, isn't it, sometimes, to think about these things. And yet God says, you have plenty. Share with those that don't. We live in a land of plenty. We've given much and therefore, in God's sight, we are much obliged. I believe that God has given much to us and therefore he expects much from us. When I was a child, if I wanted something that would cost a lot of money, my mother would say, who do you think you are? Who do you think I am? Rockefeller? Now, some of us may not remember, but way in the past, and this is my American bit, he was an American multimillionaire. And I found this story, which I thought was rather interesting, about him. An interviewer asked Mr. Rockefeller, one of the richest men in the world, how much money is enough? I think we could all hear this in ourselves a little bit, even if we're not multimillionaires. How much money is enough? And Rockefeller replied, just a little bit more. And I think that goes with however much money you've got. We can think that we need a little bit more. So by the time Rockefeller was 53, his life was a mess. Throughout his business career, he said, I never place my head upon the pillow at night without reminding myself that my success might only be temporary. He was the richest man in the world, and yet he was miserable in every sense of the word. He was sick physically, mentally, and emotionally. There was no humor, balance, or joy in his life. And then a transformation took place. He became determined to become a giver rather than an accumulator. He began to give his millions away. He founded the Rockefeller Foundation, dedicated to fighting disease and fund education around the world. He lived to be 98 years old and was a happy man in those years because of his new and revitalized definition of success. Are we still thinking a little bit more will help us? A little bit more? Or are we thinking Let's give some of that away. Let's look beyond ourselves. The antidote to greed is generosity, giving. I did my usual count, and the word give is used over 1,500 times in the Bible. Maybe the Bible is saying something to us. Give is important. The essence of Christianity is giving. The Bible says God is a giver. The Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. When God wants us to give, all he wants us to do is to become just like him. God is a giver. He's given to us. He wants us to learn to be givers too. Generosity should be the standard we live by. After all, we're much obliged. So this brings us round to the other reading that we're having, 2 Corinthians. I'm just going to read those two verses, those first two verses of the reading again. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. As I looked at those few verses and beyond, I came up with some principles that help us to understand how God sees our giving from what we've just read. So, first of all, remember that God is more interested in our attitude than our amount. He evaluates our generosity not in the light of how much we give, but how much we give in the light of how much he's given to us. Never give under pressure. We should give because we want to. Always give thankfully, remembering that we are much obliged for all that we've been given. Isn't that what harvest is about? Acknowledging what we've been given. You'll never be able to repay God for all he's done for you. However obliged we feel, however much we give, we'll never be able to repay God for all he's done for each one of us. And I love the bit where it says, give joyfully. God loves the cheerful giver. The word cheerful in Greek is the word hilaros, from which we get hilarious. So in the New Testament, when they gave an offering, they had fun. It's great to give and smile about it. They had fun. I'm sure this is none of you, but it's often said about Christians that the last thing to be converted is their pocket. When we realise that giving and sharing is part of what being a Christian is, we want to help, we want to give, and we do it joyfully because we are much obliged. Harvest time is a time when we remember that we live in a country where there is plenty, but with it comes much responsibility to those here in this country, but also to those that we've read about in our leaflet this morning. I'm going to finish with a prayer that I found for harvest time, and it seemed to just reinforce some of the things we've thought about. Creator God, for daily bread and all who work to bring your harvest home, we bring our thanks today. Forgive our ingratitude, we who have so much, yet waste what you have given. For those whose harvest is poor, whose crops have withered, water tainted, children starve, help those who bring relief and bestow on us an unaccustomed generosity, that all might share from your garden and all might sing your praise. Creator God, provider of all, we bring our thanks today. Amen.